The Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. I would like first to read a portion of one of the texts from the Acts of the Apostles for this feast, simply to call to mind the experience of the conversion. Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples, went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, that if he should find any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. On his journey, as he was nearing Damascus, a light from the sky suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, sir?" The reply came, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, for they heard the voice but could see no one. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by his hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he was unable to see, and he neither ate nor drank. The text continues as it is unfolded what has happened to Paul and how Ananias comes, the scales drop from his eyes, and indeed the Holy Spirit has been given to him, and he asks to be baptized, and he preaches in the name of the Lord Jesus. But we have here a sense of that conversion moment. I would just like to reflect upon this experience of conversion and the conversion of St. Paul. At one time in my life, I thought of Paul's conversion as that kind of dramatic, life-transforming moment, before which he was one thing and after which he became someone else. And that some conversions follow that model. They're dramatic, and we are changed, almost in the twinkling of an eye kind of thing. Whereas other conversions, what may be true for many of us, is that they are more gradual, almost like some of the other apostles, like the 12, who spent time with Jesus and gradually came to an awareness of who he was. Or for those of us raised in the faith, we begin with the faith, but it gradually becomes deeper or more meaningful for us. However, as we ponder more closely the conversion of Paul, it's not so clear that that's the case. Certainly there is that dramatic moment. He's on his way to Damascus. He's blinded by the light, and it changes his life forever. No question of that. But in some ways, Paul is the same after the conversion as he was before. He was an adamant, zealous, in some ways committed person. Before, of course, it was putting all that energy towards turning in Christian Jews who were followers of the way and persecuting them. And afterwards, he was the same person, but now all that energy went into his preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and defending Jesus Christ. But even apart from that, it's not as if the conversion that happens on the road to Damascus is totally accomplished within that incident or experience that is so dramatically portrayed. We also read at different points in Paul's letters and the Acts of the Apostles as well, that after he comes to an awareness, he goes off to preach in the region of Arabia, which would be more like what we would think of today as Jordan, Nabataean territory, where he's really not so successful, and he returns back to Damascus, where he stays for almost 3 years. And so after this dramatic experience, he is spending time absorbing it, learning what it means, probably preaching there as well, but at the same time being further formed in the faith with the others who already were there as a Christian community. He spends 3 years. Eventually, he's driven out of Damascus, again, very likely by Nabataeans who have now taken over the city. But then he goes, and as he says in the letters, spends 15 days, he's very precise, with Peter in Jerusalem. Up until this time, he's had 3 years in Damascus, but he's not yet made a trip where he might meet those who were the pillars of the faith, those who were the apostles. Now, driven from Damascus, he goes to Jerusalem, spends time with Peter, and certainly learns more about the Jesus whom he did not know in that way in the flesh. After which time he goes, it says, he preaches some in Syria and Cilicia, and then he ends up in Antioch, seemingly brought there, perhaps, again from Tarsus, but brought to Antioch, where there are years for which we have little records, and so it could be up to 10 years that he's there in Antioch. And during that time, of course, he does go with Barnabas on one of the missionary journeys. How long? Maybe that lasted a year or two. It's more as if he's almost an apprentice to Barnabas. Barnabas is the more leading member at that point. Anyway, given the time he spent in Damascus, 3 years, given the time he spent with Peter, given up to almost 10 years in Antioch before he goes out in what we think of as this dramatic missionary journey, there goes he through Galatia and eventually into Europe to Philippi, Thessalonica, Athens, Corinth, that great journey undoubtedly taking several years along the way. Before all of that, this seemingly instantaneous, dramatic turnaround conversion has taken time for Paul to mature, to grow in his insight, to learn, and even after that, he continues to learn more and more. So early in his first meeting with Peter, it seems as if they agreed that he would have a mission to the Gentiles, but they did not seem to discuss the conditions under which those kinds of conversions of Gentiles would take place. And it's only later when he returns to Jerusalem after the long journey, returning from Corinth and everything, that he and Barnabas go down to Jerusalem and then get the acceptability of the way in which he's been proceeding, namely that circumcision would not be required of Gentile converts. But even then, he still would be inclined to say that those who are Jewish converts, even if they were not his primary converts, that they would follow the Jewish law. But once the dispute takes place over dietary laws, Paul gradually sees more and more that even for Jewish converts, the law needs to be set aside. It's not binding. In other words, the conversion of Paul, although it involves its dramatic moment, is a lifelong process of absorbing its meaning, continuing to learn, changing his mind, growing in the faith, and absorbing the fullness of all that might be implied. If we contrast that conversion with what we might think of as one of the 12, someone like Peter, whose conversion would have been more gradual, the year or two or so that he would have been a disciple of Jesus, even if we look at Peter, it's not as if his conversion was gradual without dramatic moments. For indeed, although he was a follower of Jesus and at Caesarea Philippi, professed the faith, the reality is that there's a lot he did not catch on to while he was a follower of Jesus. At times it's as if he didn't have a clue, even as it comes to having Jesus wash his feet, as it comes to denying Jesus at the time of Jesus' death. It's as if, although Peter has been with him, that gradual conversion has just begun. And it's not as if Peter is without the dramatic moments. There's the dramatic moment when he encounters the risen Lord in that appearance experience, and then that Pentecostal experience. So Peter also has his dramatic moments, but also the gradual unfolding as he too learns what it means to have this faith in Jesus Christ. So at first he certainly thought that it meant Jews were being called, and he gradually realizes Gentiles too, and it's only with time he realizes, perhaps even in his own experience with Cornelius, that Gentiles are being called and they need not be circumcised. For with the experience of Cornelius, Peter will say, indeed, the Holy Spirit was given to them just as to us. So Peter, too, learns and grows and matures. Basically, as we reflect upon the experience of conversion, I would want to say that perhaps for almost all of us, there's both the dramatic moments along the way, an experience of call, of vocation, of profession, of an adult baptism, of some particular experience. There are those dramatic experiences, but then there's the lifelong absorbing the impact, the meaning, the letting it unfold, the deepening, the learning, the relearning, the changing of our mind. In some ways, someone might say that Paul's conversion, as well as Peter's, are not really complete until they both end up in Rome under the persecution of Nero, and then perhaps really realize even more what it's all about, what this faith in Jesus Christ means and might ask of him. So rather than thinking of the conversion of Paul, or any conversion, including our own, as an instant or a moment, a turnabout in our lives, it would seem as if every conversion is a continuing conversion, continuous, lifelong, and that there are the moments that we might point to that involve their great significance, but then there is also the lifelong journey, which is of equal importance as we allow God to work within us and we become instruments of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And so conversion, lifelong, continuing, and it's that way for Paul as well. The journey to Damascus was just the beginning of the conversion and not its ending.